One of the largest freshwater turtles in the world is the alligator snapping turtle. That picture's so ugly, I didn't even want to put it up there. But it's found primarily in the southeastern United States. These massive turtles have been known to weigh close to 250 pounds. They are carnivorous. And while their diet is primarily fish, they have been known to eat almost anything else they can find in the water. Even in a few cases, small alligators. The alligator snapping turtle relies on a uniquely deceitful method of foraging for fish. The turtle will lie completely still on the floor of a lake or a river with its mouth wide open. And at the end of the turtle's tongue is a small, pink, worm-shaped appendage. And the turtle wiggles the end of its tongue so that it looks like a worm moving through the water. And when a fish comes to eat the worm, the turtle's jaws rapidly close, trapping the fish so that it cannot escape. It's a brilliant design. But similarly to the snapping turtle's lure, temptation comes in the guise of something desirable, but it always carries destruction with it in the end. If we could see the end result rather than the tempting part of temptation, it would be far easier to resist. But Satan knows this, so he cleverly disguises what is deadly as something pleasurable. Our Unstuck series began last week dealing with our suffering as human beings, not by ignoring or denying it, but by seeing how God can work in and through our pain and suffering. As Pastor Rebecca said, you'll never get unstuck as long as you are stuck on yourself. And the only way to become unstuck from ourselves and our problems is to dwell instead upon the God who, out of his suffering for us, turned our terminal case into eternal life. Today we deal with another hindrance, an obstacle that can cause us to become stuck on our journey to Jemah, the journey that little Derek and Margaret found themselves on after the death of their mother. And that hindrance is temptation. The temptations that hinder the Christian come in many forms. They're different for all of us, and yet in many respects, they're the same. For they deal with our carnal, fallen nature, which we all have. For a moment, let's consider another journey that we all take. In John Bunyan's classic novel, The Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, the main character, who later becomes Christian and represents all of us, flees from the city of destruction. It's surrounded by the river of death. The city of destruction represents for Bunyan this present age. And Christian Pilgrim finds himself along his journey to the celestial city, his eternal home, being greatly distracted and tempted along the way. The temptations are alluring and common to every Christian. They call him to settle for less, to hang on to this world instead of fixing his focus upon the great light coming from the eternal city that lay before him. One city along the way was called Vanity Fair. You can imagine what that city was all about, the vanities of this world, wealth and power. The temptations along Pilgrim's Way were subtle and deceitful. They involved religion and ease of conscience and comfort. Another village that Pilgrim traveled through was the Plain of Ease, a place that you and I can easily settle into if we're not careful. It is the place where people go to church, they say they are religious, and yet somehow fail to embrace the call of Christ. Days of ease are fleeting, gone before we really notice them. And it's easy to drift through days of ease. And during those times, our determination wanes. Our guard comes down, and too easily we begin to forget just how much we need God. Scripture exhorts us to remember, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." In Deuteronomy, Moses warned Israel about the ease and comforts of the promised land, saying, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Could that sound a little bit like our country? Full of blessing? We're always desperately dependent upon God for His grace and mercy. But in times of ease, we can too easily forget our dependence on God and fail to thank Him for His mercies as we should. The subtlety of ease is a danger to us. We must be wary of it, because the plane of ease can keep us off of our knees. At this stage in our lives, except for Anakin, that being mature adults, shall we say, our temptations are not the same as an elementary school student, a teenager, or even a younger professional in their 20s. Anakin's still tempted to take a cookie out of the cookie jar. I can just boldly go there and take whatever I want. But there's one temptation that hinders every single Christian, no matter what their age. That is the temptation of distraction. Distraction leads to destruction. Have you ever seen one of those commercials that warn you not to text and drive at the same time? Just one little distraction and destruction can take place out of nowhere. The temptation that every Christian faces daily is the distraction from prayer. The distraction to stay off of our knees, our lifeline to God, to stay focused on the other things of this world. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? How many times in 1 hour did Jesus have to wake His disciples up when He asked them to pray with Him? 3 times. "Could you not pray 1 hour with me?" He asked. Now let me ask you, no hands raised, but ask yourself, have I dedicated one deliberate hour of prayer this last week to nurture my relationship with God and pray on behalf of others? Would my total prayer add up to 1 hour this week? Or do we live in the plane of ease? I find that when a person begins to pray, there are immediate distractions that will get you sidetracked and off that task in no time flat. As soon as you determine in your heart to pray, the devil is all over that like white on rice. As soon as we begin to pray, he will tempt our minds to wander. "Dear Lord Jesus, oh wait, I can't forget that good show is on at 8 o'clock tonight. Did I get the electric bill paid on Wednesday? I can't forget that luncheon date. Okay, Jesus, where were we?" If our phones are within reach, they act like a magnet to our minds. When you pray, put your smartphone in another room. I'll set out to pray, and before I know it, I'm playing Candy Crush. Or I'm checking football scores. It's not intentional. We set out to pray, but for some reason, the distractions and temptations not to pray are close at hand. And when we get distracted in prayer, in a sense, we're saying to God, "Excuse me, Lord, there's something more important to me than talking to you." In reality, though, what could possibly be more important than talking to and nurturing your relationship with God, your Savior? Prayer is the greatest spiritual weapon of warfare, along with reading the Word. And the devil knows how important it is. He knows the power of prayer, and so he does his best to distract us from it. If we could grow in this area of our life, conquering the distractions to prayer, then we could become victorious over all of our other temptations. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus tells us when we pray, go into the inner room of our house. Go into your closet. That way it's just between you and your Father in heaven. There are no distractions. Distractions lead to destruction. And it starts with our prayer life. Don't be distracted from the greatest source of power available to you to bless your life and keep you on the path to the celestial city. After this next song, let's see how Derek and Margaret deal with their temptation and their distractions.